When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Meta Show. Today is Saturday, February the 27th, the last Saturday in February. I am Brisk Rubal. I am joined by the Mitanni. We have got a show mostly today about CCP, because there hasn't been a whole hell of a lot of war news, so we've got other stuff to cover. Now, it is a black shirt show, so that should... I don't know if that... is. Are you trying to tell us something, Mittens?
Well, this is a holdover, right? Because I basically... and my voice is kind of hoarse, guys, so as a warning, we have a lot of like corporate business, interesting analysis, because CCP has been doing lots of things. But this black shirt is just a holdover from the fireside I just gave. If you were there, you know what's up. My voice is a little hoarse, but we'll see. We'll see where we go on CCP. There is a lot, because here's the thing, guys. We had a wild show last week, and Brisk and the crew did a ton of work in compiling a lot of very interesting data on the piercing the corporate veil segment that we tend to do. And then the expert system stuff happened. And then the news report about the deal between Pearl Abyss and CCP also hit. So there has been a ton of big picture macroeconomic what the fuck is going on with CCP shit that we are going to dive into today. And there may be some black shirt ranting. I'm not going to promise anything. You're at the fireside. You heard all the black shirt stuff you'd like. Brisk, why don't you, let's dive into it. We got a lot to dig through here. Let's get started.
Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to hop up on my soapbox for a minute. First of all, I want to say thank you guys for watching as always. For those of you who don't know, in addition to my Meta Show role as co-host, I have also been serving as co-host of the Open Comm Show, which used to be on INN and now in the future moved to its own channel about 6 months ago. I want to let you all know that as of now, I am 100% committed just to the Meta Show. I did a good run on Open Comms. I had a lot of fun with those guys, but it was clear to me that the show would do better without me there than it does with me there, and that I wanted to spend all of my time devoted to making this show the best show in New Eden, which it already is, but it can always be a little bit better. So I wanted to let everybody know, just a heads up, Open Comms, I hope you all enjoy it. Go check it out Friday nights. Watch Drayden and Dirk and Dominark and the gang and have a good time with those guys. But as of now, I am a one-show man, and that show is the Meta Show. So I hope you all enjoyed the time that I was on that show. I want to thank all of them for the amount of time that they gave me. They kind of gave me my start in the EVE blogosphere or webosphere or Twitchosphere. It was a good run with those guys, and I look forward to seeing what they do in the future. Off of my soapbox, onto a different soapbox. So we're going to one soapbox down, and then we got a new soapbox up. I want to preface this show by saying no one here wants CCP to fail. No one here wants the company to go under. No one here wants the company to put out bad stuff that makes people angry and makes them quit the game. That's not why we are highlighting the things we are highlighting. That is not why we're going to talk about the stuff we're going to talk about today. Our goal is to put a spotlight, if I can speak properly, on things that we are concerned about, things that we think bode poorly for the future of the game, things that are happening both with the company, the good news and the bad news, and what we think this means moving forward. Because as much as we like to talk about NullSec politics and we talk about the war and we do a lot of entertainment, the show has always been not only about the entertainment side of EVE, the fun side, the black shirt side, getting out here, the rah-rah, that legacy is next, failing type stuff, and all the other things the Fountain Frank shows that we do. We also want to provide you guys with news and provide you guys with information, because we know that you look to us for information like you look to the other news shows. We want to provide some of it to you. We want to give you the benefit of our expertise and our understanding of what's going on, not just inside EVE, but also on a macro level. You got two lawyers here We're going to lawyer a lot today. So just be prepared for that. So that's basically my soapbox for today. I want to get down off my soapbox now and say we're going to do like 4 different Piercing the Corporate Veil segments today. And we also have some other videos and stuff we want to show you guys. So we're going to get started now. We're going to go right into this. The first thing, the most important thing that I think happened this week, and I think it started putting a lot of concern in the minds of some EVE players, was the rollout of these new expert systems. So let's go do Piercing the Corporate Veil. We'll talk about expert systems.
All right.
So on Tuesday, or I believe it was on Wednesday, CCP rolled out these new expert systems. They put a new blog up, and essentially the blog talks a little bit about what they're supposed to be. And what we're seeing here, it's coming soon. We have brand new monetized offering from CCP that's designed to help rookie capsuleers discover and experience new activities by providing them with virtual skills and skill levels for a limited time that can't be used or can't be extracted through skill extractors. And we've got some nice new art, and they talk about this. And they also note that expert systems in their current form will be obtainable only from the EVE store. That's what we tend to refer to as the secure store on the website. And they may make some of these part of login campaigns. I think the immediate response from many players was the obvious question of what exactly are they selling, because it's not 100% clear what they're going to get. Now, they did mention that they were talking about exploration, mining, and core skills like the Magic 14 that they would be selling to people for a certain amount of money. They haven't given us any pricing data yet. They haven't given us anything beyond that they're going to be selling these things, and maybe they'll sell the Magic 14. That has led to a lot of consternation, I think, amongst the players. We've always kept, since Incarna, a very, very, very close eye on CCP when they provide new monetization. Now, I have heard both sides of these arguments. I've heard players complain. I've heard players say, well, this doesn't sound that bad. I viewed this as a CSM member, saw the rollout, saw the ideas behind it. I'm still kind of ambivalent because I don't think this has anything to do with me. But let me tell you, there are a lot of people really mad about this. And boss, you want to see how mad they are?
I think that this is, I was stunned when I saw this. So why don't we just play the tape and then we'll see afterwards.
So one of the most beloved community guys who's been with this game for a long time put out this video. We're going to show it to you guys now. This was some of the reaction to this latest monetization from CCP.
At CCP Games, we're committed to creating virtual worlds that are more meaningful than real life. With the launch of EVE Online in May 2003, CCP established itself as one of the most innovative companies in interactive entertainment, winning numerous awards and receiving critical acclaim worldwide. But a lot has changed since then, including our business strategy. Since 2018, CCP is now solely focused on milking our dedicated player base at the expense of EVE's integrity. There's money to be made, and we intend to siphon as much as we can from our players' wallets until they dry up and quit EVE for good. Here's a brand new EVE player. He's following a salty bitter vet for guidance. Boy, is he going to be disappointed. How much money is this little guy willing to spend? There's only one way to find out. These players are ripe for milking. Keep going. Those udders are still full. Don't stop. Straight from the source. Freshly milked players taste the best. It wasn't too long ago that we had plans to evolve the game with a long-term vision for the future, and even branch out into other markets. We had ambition, but those days are gone. All that matters now is harvesting that sweet, sweet milk. Mmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, milk it. Milk it.
Join EVE Online today, because at this rate, the game won't be around for much longer. EVE Online. The universe may be yours, but your wallet belongs to us.
That's what this created. That's what this created. I don't think that's what we wanted to see. And frankly, I don't know. I mean, Mittens, you were there when Incarna rolled out. You were there for the emergency CSM session over Greed is Good. Talk about what this sounds like to you from that perspective.
I think that, well, let me start with that. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that that came from Manic Velocity, because several years ago, and if any of you were at those FanFests, you'll remember, Manic was sort of uplifted by CCP as a community spokesperson, right? Like, they put him on stage at FanFest. He was sort of like the example guy, the, I don't want to say poster boy, he's a man, he can do his own thing, but he was the dude for EVE community stuff for a little bit there, to the point that on main stage at FanFest, Manic Velocity was up there with Guard and the rest of the crew, if I remember correctly. So I haven't really seen, you know, I do NullSec stuff. I don't keep track of Manic Velocity. I don't know what has been happening. So I was completely surprised to see that that video came from Manic. I think that that is a, it's not that he's like in charge of the community or anything, but it's just, it was so unexpected to see something that savage from the dude who used to be up on stage at FanFest as, you know, let's all hold hands together and talk about how great the community is. And I think that, you know, when you lose a spokesperson like that in such an unexpected way, it's a real warning sign. Now, as far as the original question, which was, what does this tell us compared to the Incarna style situations? We are not really going to know what, how much this matters, I think, essentially, until they give us some more information about the price point. Because frankly, if you know, if it's like a $10 starter pack or something, who gives a shit, right? If it is a extensive money grab, it gets more scandalous. If people are similarly mad about a whole bunch of other things that are going on, like, you know, red dots or what have you, it just, what really my takeaway from this is, who asked for it? Why is it necessary? Are there other methods of improving the new player experience? It just seems like just trying to understand exactly what they're doing with a temporary granting of skills, and then they're going to remove them and let people try things out. It was just like, what focus group did this come out of? Who asked for this? And I don't, I am in a very unique position, right? Because I'm the leader of the Imperium. I do not want to try to be seen to move the dial one way or the other, or turn the wheel, or influence CCP on this kind of stuff, because, you know, my words have consequences. My concern is, it just seemed so random and not really what the player base was asking for. And it seemed a little like, if you wanted to teach a new player about EVE Online, how are you going to explain this expert systems thing to them, right? Is this something that people are going to find on the web store and then it's going to make an impact? One of the things that has been a recurring concern of mine regarding CCP's behavior in the last couple of years, and we'll get into some of the details about this later when we talk about the Pearl Abyss finances aspect, is that they will launch a feature that doesn't really seem to have anybody ask abandoned. Like, remember the HyperNet Relay? Right? Like all of that shit. If I had to sum it up, my reaction to the expert systems controversy is this. What? There
exactly.
You go.
That's the thing. And I think,
huh?
What I think frustrated and scared all of us, or at least made us nervous, is I am nervous now when I see the responses that come back from stuff like this. Because I feel like we're sitting on a ticking time bomb here, to be bluntly honest. The players are, I think, at their most impatient that we have been in quite a long time. I think there is a lot of things that are coming down the pike that have, and when I say coming down the pike, I'm not talking about potential development stuff. I'm talking about, we had a number of things that have come down to, that we have landed on that we've had to deal with. They're all starting to accrue, and it's kind of like lead poisoning. It doesn't happen like overnight. It accumulates. Okay. We have no idea, no real roadmap, and we haven't seen one in a while. There was no fan fest, so there was no fan fest presentation. There was nothing to get the players excited. We have the botched Pochvin nonsense that ended with a broken, half-filled with empty content region that players were excited for. That was the culmination of a year's worth of NPC content that now is basically useless and empty and nobody's in there. That I think scares a lot of people. You throw in scarcity, you throw in mineral redistribution. We're starting to see some team talents. We're starting to see some good balance changes that folks have been asking for. But then we see things like the expert systems rollout. We see a lot of the other focus on marketing, and the result, the question that everybody asks is, who asked for this? And that's exactly what Mitten said. Who asked for this?
And it's, yeah, like here's, it worries me because I wonder, like, how many development cycles, how many dev man hours has gone into this thing that could have gone to potentially other things? I mean, I have never seen a system like this proposed in any other video game. Like, I don't think that there is an equivalent where it's like, hey, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been busy with war stuff. I haven't been too plugged into the expert systems controversy other than going, where the fuck did this come from? How does this move the dial? If they're announcing it, why didn't they get in front of the controversy by like suggesting their estimated price range? Obviously, they don't want to get like locked down, but the community is worried about like monocles and red dots and Incarna style neglect of the core game. It's just oof. I mean, we did, at least we got formations. They finally did something about the fucking hack meta. Like, that's cool, but it's just... how long have they been working on this? Where's the fucking beef?
Well,
where's the fucking spaceships? Where's the fucking spaceships in the spaceship game?
That's the thing.
Spaceship war game. Give us some fucking spaceships that work better, that look better, that are more fun to fly. Focus on the fucking spaceships. It's the exact same shit that we saw in Incarna. Focus on the spaceships. When they backed off Incarna and suddenly they give a shit about spaceships again, the expansion that came after Incarna, suddenly it was love and hugs and kumbayas, and we all got back together because we are here to do spaceship video game shit.
And it's, that's absolutely that it. That's it. What you know what? I'll tell you, there's let me be, I am probably the most accessible CSM member out there. I have people come to me all the time asking for random stuff. I've got my list on my website. You can check it out, briskforcsm.win. It's still there. I cross things off when we get stuff done. I get asked more than anything about three things. Number one is the stupid red dot. Still no progress on getting us a toggle for that, which frustrates the hell out of me.
What the fuck, right?
The second thing is angel capitals. I get asked on a daily basis for these damn angel capitals that they showed us 6 years ago at FanFest. People have been dead. They want these ships really, really bad. And they want them now. And it's, and I love the trick ships. There's the Triglavian ships that we got in 2018. Some of the best ships in the game. I love them to death. I fly them all the time. They are some of my favorites. The new Edencom ships we got last year, not as great, but we're finally starting to see some use of them outside of Abyssals. Maybe a little bit of stuff. We got one or two Doctors in Null Site, but we haven't seen it out in a while. Guys like new ships. Guys would love to see the Angel Titans, finally. They want their Crab Titan, even if they can't crab with it. These guys want new ships. They want new capital ships. That's what I hear more than anything else. The third thing that I constantly hear is do something about Clokey Camping. And I'll tell you, it frustrates the hell out of me that we have had these debates, ongoing debates about certain topics, have been going on for years. It took Innominate 4 CSM terms to finally get them to focus on Wardex in HiSec and fix it, and now it's fixed and it's not an issue anymore. The amount of time that it takes to get from the company what the community wants is frustrating, and it's long, and guys are getting very impatient. And they have that impatient is blown up when we're given stuff that nobody asked for. And yes, I understand completely. I understand that this is designed for new players. They want players that are in that first 1 month to 2 months. They just finished the tutorial. What are they going to do type thing? Well, maybe they're going to try one of the expert systems out, and that'll let them go fly with some friends or hang out or do some kind of an event or something like that, because they can get into a ship they otherwise would have to wait to skill into. All right, I understand. And I understand they're not going to be that expensive. It's going to be fine or whatever. I understand that. But you're focused your attention on new players and new player retention. That's okay. We understand the need for that. But you can't do that to the exclusion of everybody else that's here that's paying money. We're already here. I have spent thousands of dollars on this game. You have spent thousands of dollars on this game. Every single one of us watching the show, there are 1,000 people watching the show, our existing customers. Nobody is watching an Eve talk show because they just heard about the game and they want to see somebody playing it, because we ain't playing the fucking game, guys. We're talking about it. But the point is, I'm really frustrated. I know that my fellow CSM members are frustrated, because trying to get anything that the players want done in a timely fashion is like trying to pull your own teeth with a pair of butter knives. It just is awful. It's you're scraping and you're just frustrating yourself. It's the worst thing ever. And it drives me crazy, because I feel like if you do the stuff that you want to do, you want to focus on new player experience and you're going to do that kind of stuff and you put resources that way, that's great. But give the vets something too. Give us the shiny object that will distract us and make us happy while you guys are working on something else behind the scenes that you think is going to help increase the bottom line. That's fine. But we're not getting that right now. All we're getting is some balance changes every 2 months and a bunch of stuff for new players that has no impact on the vast majority of people that are here. I get frustrated with it. I know my fellow CSM members are frustrated with it. I know you guys are frustrated with it, because you tell me you're frustrated with it. So we want to try to put this out here. Now, I will freely admit that part of the anger with the expert systems thing, or at least it was, that it came out and this was bad timing for CCP, and I legitimately feel bad for them, because it came out the same day that it was announced that CCP did not hit their performance goals in the 2018 Pearl Abyss contract and thus would not be getting the additional $200 million on top of the sale price. This was broken in one of the unfortunately unpronounceable Icelandic newspapers, Vidskip, blah, 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 blah. I butchered that and I feel bad, but I can't pronounce it. But they talk about it, and there's Hilmar with his 20-year sword, the only member of the company that's got their 20-year sword. Everybody else that's got 10 gets a sword, and they're on the wall at the company. But it talks about this, and we have translations of it here. You get to see behind the scenes a little bit of what we have. But we've got, basically, it says that the purchase price for the company was $425 million, which was the equivalent of 54 billion ISK in real ISK. It was down from $225 million. There were two performance goals, one for 2019, one for 2020. If they hit those goals, they'd make $100 million extra each. And One of the reasons why they claim that this was part of the problem was that they didn't get licenses for the new Serenity server, and they didn't get licenses for Eve Echoes in a timely fashion the way that they wanted to. That sucks, because that is completely outside of their control. The Chinese government put a stop to any kind of video game licensing for like a year, and it was just when CCP was trying to relaunch Serenity and try to create new benefits. And I'm betting that at least part of the reason why they weren't able to hit their performance goals in 2019, 2020 was because they didn't get those licenses. But I want to be clear, because there's been a lot of talk about this in the community. We do not know what those performance goals were. We don't know if they were revenue related, and we'll get to the revenue in a minute, We don't know if they were performance, as in how many titles are you going to put out beyond EVE this year. We don't know whether they were tied specifically to the Serenity server, specifically to EVE Echo, specifically to something else. We don't have those details. So it sucks, and I think everybody wanted the company to be worth more. But frankly, $225 million for a company with one major IP that's 17 years old is not that bad.
I mean, that's fair, right? Like, I learned a lot from this article, and I was surprised by the news in it, because I had known that there was, like, it was part of the press. It was public knowledge that there was a performance bonus attached to the $425 million acquisition price. I had anticipated that this was going to trigger within the first year. What we did not know is that there was another year there, and that then this finally came out that, you know, sorry, you don't get the gold star. What is sort of mind-blowing for me about this is charting backwards now, because I didn't realize that there was still this performance bonus in the wins. I thought we were going to hear about it last year. We didn't. And then now, whoa, hey. It really makes you wonder what they've been doing for the last 2 years, because then you can go back 2 years and say, what was happening in 2019? Was that the Age of Chaos stuff, the blackout stuff, the Drifter attacks? Like, was that their attempt? And at the time, I thought that was their attempt from the C-suite to try to just shake things up a bit and chase after the bonus. And it did not end well. It did not end well. And they turned off the blackout. They stopped with the Drifter crap. And they seemed to sort of go, okay, let's back away from let's stop banging around the nuclear reactor control room with a wrench and a chicken and, you know, chaos everywhere. And then this last year, now we know this last year was still a performance bonus scenario. So essentially, for me, and I don't have conclusions about this. I do not have conclusions about this. This is all very new. This information is that essentially we have to recalibrate. We have to look back in not just the year of the Age of Chaos or whatever, but in this previous year and examine the company's behavior to determine what changed. Did they know in after the first year that they weren't going to hit the performance bonus? And so that's why we're seeing some of the weird shit that's been happening in the previous year. Were they still going for it? Because we don't know if it was purely revenue target or if there were release, like game release targets or whatever. We are speculating here. But this is, it's big. Like, I think it's $225 is a fair price. You know, we know now more about the parties, their share percentages, and we can calculate from that how much they took in and what their hypothetical bonuses were going to be. And this is all very interesting. But in general, it just raises a lot of questions. And I am a huge fan of CCB making money. I want CCB to make so much fucking money that everybody is happy and it's all smiles and sunshine, because if CCB is making money, then EVE should be healthy. And that is cool, because we can keep doing our internet spaceship thing. So usually when we have these piercing the corporate veil segments, and Brisk does the analysis on the latest earnings report from Pearl Abyss,
which is coming out.
Yeah, we break out the pom-poms and we do the cheerleading thing and we're like, go CCP, we want you to make money. Like, you know, every company has to have monetization. It is not a charity. We need to make sure the company is earning. So I don't like being up here not cheerleading. I want good things to happen for the company. I want them to make money. I want them to be successful. I want them to hit their goals. And so now we've got this Q4 earnings report from Pearl Abyss.
Right. Before we get into that, just briefly, I just want to say again, we don't know what their performance goals were. And I hesitate to speculate, but you know what? We got some time, so let's do some speculating. I don't think revenue was really ever one of these performance goals, because if that were the case, 2020 was one of the best years on record for the company. Their revenue was way higher than it has ever been since PA bought them. And the revenue was off the charts.
We had their record retention, and that's why there's all this crap.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that part of it is player retention, new player retention in particular, getting those numbers up, getting those percentages up. And that's the kind of thing I feel like we wouldn't have an issue with. We wouldn't have a problem with all of these questions regarding Blackout and everything like that. I don't think they would have done Blackout if revenue was the main goal, because why would you do something that is designed, that was such a risk that you didn't know what was going to happen when you're desperately trying to do everything you can to get this money in. That's why I don't think revenue had a part of it. I think it had to do with other metrics that Blackout would not have impacted. And I don't think new player retention, I think new player retention is one of those things that Blackout would not have impacted. So that makes sense to me why they would consider doing something like that. And then again, why they're putting all the effort into the new player experience and getting new people into the game. If that was the criteria for this, then that makes sense why that's where the resources were. That's speculation. I don't know. The other thing that I will say, and we'll get there in the Pearl Abyss segment, is it seems clear to me that I think that there were a lot of specific goals for the Chinese market that because of what the other CCP did, it didn't make it possible for CCP to hit those goals. And that's completely out of their control. And that sucks. And that's just bad timing on their part and bad timing in general, and nothing that you can blame on the company. So I feel bad that they weren't able to hit that. Because frankly, you had a lot of share owners of the company were employees. They made out pretty well when Pearl Abyss bought the company, and I would love to have seen a little bit more money going to them for the hard work that they've done over the years. And they missed out on that too. So that's a shame. But we're gonna hit the Pearl Abyss numbers right now.
All right.
So we'll do another piercing the corporate veil part three. Right, wrong screen. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. My aunt is calling me, and I'm wondering if somebody's dead, so I'll figure that out eventually. Piercing the Corporate Veil Part 3 is the Pearl Abyss fourth quarter numbers. Let me pull them up on the screen here for you guys. So we had Pearl Abyss's call was 2 weeks ago. As always, Noisy Gamer and I sat on the call like we have every year. Every quarter since 2018 or 2019, whenever the company was bought and they started doing these. It's obvious based on what I've seen that Pearl Abyss is not doing great in general, and it's not CCP's fault. It's because they have failed to deliver on their new title, Crimson Desert, that they've been pushing for a while. It's a very anticipated game in the Asian market. But it was supposed to be out earlier, and they're supposed to hit, and it didn't come out in 2020. It's supposed to hit later in this year. And the investors on the call were really nervous about how sure are you that this is going to happen. But again, when they look back over 2020, one of the things that they highlighted that Eve strengthened its user base and expanded the IP through the China relaunch in April and EVE Echoes in August, and then the localization in Japan in December. And in addition, they claim live service had a solidified revenue base thanks to the core user increase. Now, when you look at in terms of revenue, they brought in 19.1 billion Korean won in fourth quarter. That is about $17.25 million, about $17.25 million. The third quarter number for Eve was the best third quarter, best number period, the best quarter ever that the company had done since PA picked them up. So the overall number was down about 8% from Q4 quarter number was down 8% from Q3, but it's still 19.1 billion. That's still the second best quarter that EVE has had since they were bought by Pearl Abyss. Second best. And overall, EVE produced a 54% year-over-year growth increase from the same time in 2019. So we went from the dregs of the tail end of Blackout that caused significant revenue strain to the best year in the history of EVE. Now, or at least the history of EVE since Pearl Abyss bought the company four years ago. Now, here's the thing, 3 years ago. How much of that was COVID? I don't know. How much of that was the war? I don't know. How much of that was everything combined and new players trying out new games because they're stuck at home? I don't know. But the reality is EVE has been doing pretty well. And the monetization that they're doing is working. And EVE Echoes is working. Now, I understand EVE Echoes is going through their own monetization and carnal level crisis over there with this new insurance plan that they're putting out, where apparently that's something along the lines of if you buy you spend real life money to insure your ships, you'll get your stuff back, which is so completely anti-EVE, I can't believe that they would even think about it. But that's not CCP doing it. It's NetEase, and they're gonna do it by the rules of the Asian mobile market, which is a lot different than the worldwide mm-hmm. PC market.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is, from fourth quarter, they have made a significant amount of money. Now, let me show you something else. They talked about, at least the company, so they talked about where they're going to go next year. For Eve, the only thing they have as a prospective highlight for 2021 is deeper localization, including regional language and cultural elements, whatever the fuck that means, and Eve Echoes in China, which we already know they've made the announcement that they're gonna do a specific version of Echoes for the Chinese market, which is geared because Chinese market is huge when it comes to mobile games. But what I am seeing, and I don't know if Noisy will back me up on this, but what I have seen, having spent the last 2 years on these calls, listening to what the Pearl Abyss folks at leadership have said, in particular about Eve and about the way that they run their company, all of the folks out there who are concerned that Pearl Abyss is the one forcing all of these new monetization schemes and the rest on CCP, you don't have anything to worry about, because everything that I have seen points to the fact that Pearl Abyss does not give a rat fuck about anything that isn't Asian market related when it comes to EVE Online. They don't care about it. They don't care about whether we nerf hacks. They don't care about whether they do expert systems and monetize something new. They care about localization in Korea and Japan, absolutely. They care about Echoes launching on the phones in Asian market, absolutely. But they don't care about it anywhere else. And it seems clear to me that unless there is something that is Asian market related, Pearl Abyss is happy to let CCP go off and do whatever they're doing. And they seem to be doing okay. So I'm willing to bet that because the revenue numbers are up, even if they didn't hit their performance goals in 2020, I look at these numbers, and if I'm an investor, I'm saying, well, you know what? You guys made a good decision when you bought that company. And you know what? You got them for a steal. So I think of all of the things in there, this is a kind of a bright spot for them. And I'm hoping that because these numbers are relatively stable, that we will start to see a little bit more focus back on fundamental Eve stuff and not so much worrying about trying to hit any of these goals, because they don't have to worry about it anymore. That monkey's off the back. They can focus now straight up on revenue and focusing on the game, and then let NetEase do what they're doing with Echoes, because it doesn't really matter to the rest of us unless somehow this thing gets merged in, which I doubt it is ever going to happen. That's our fourth quarter Pearl Abyss rundown. Mittens, what do you take away from any of this stuff?
Oh, what a fucking mess.
And PA stock price is down quite a bit, but that has more to do with they're dropping profit numbers than anything else. Nothing to do with Eve. Go ahead.
One of the biggest challenges here is uncertainty about what this data tells us, right? So just because Pearl Abyss is doing an investor call and is talking about what their expectations are for 2021, as Brisk is pointing out, what they're saying is going to happen in Eve is not the same as what we will actually get from CCP, right? This is what made it into the Pearl Abyss presentation. I would be freaked out if those are the only two things happening in Eve for 2021, but we know from CCP's communication that they are working on more stuff. I am really kind of on the fence about whether I would like to see Pearl Abyss do more in terms of meddling with Eve or less, if they are hypothetically meddling with Eve, because here's the thing. There's a lot of online games. There are a lot of best practices that are lifted from one game or for the other, right? Like when suddenly Farmville was big, you guys might remember there was the whole Spacebook thing, and Spacebook and Farmville in space was PI. And there was this, I even forgot the name of it now, but there was basically like a Facebook equivalent webpage for everybody's characters. And that was like a big thing. Trend chasing is a thing and everybody does it. And trend chasing in many cases is an important business practice, because if somebody figures out how to make a better video game and you can copy and paste that shit to make a better video game in your video game, good luck, God bless, that's great. What seems so weird to me about the expert systems thing when you're combining it with this is, let's say that there is a big focus on retaining new players and all this other sort of stuff. There are tons of best practices across the industry. Like, people have been making online games for a long fucking time now. And it just sort of worries me when I see something that is confusing, that looks like it was a wheel reinvention, right? looking at these other scenarios, I then look at the expert system thing and I'm going like, why are we seeing wheel reinvention? Why are they reinventing the wheel instead of just, you know, yoinking best practices? And doesn't somebody over at Pearl Abyss, which is a much better capitalized company than CCP, like have some sort of secret sauce or juju that they could use to move the retention numbers up because they have Black Desert Online. They've got a lot of data from that. There's a lot of things potentially that could be useful to help us. So I am ambivalent on the GER Pearl Abyss thing because in many situations, when you have a successful, experienced company that has been operating well enough to be able to acquire and retain other companies, there's probably something of value in their practices and in their work habits. So I don't necessarily go, ooh, gee, Pearl Abyss is going to come and monetize things and it's going to be bad, because I was around in the Incarna crisis where CCP on their own went for the $70 monocle. Like, it's not like you need to be, ooh, scary Pearl Abyss, because CCP can fuck up monetization all on their own without any help, right?
Exactly. Look, these guys are way ahead. You got to give CCP credit. They were on the bleeding edge of the monetization thing. They came out and the Monocle stuff was all
that's
like
one way to put it.
Super early.
They bled. Green
bleeding
is
edge,
good.
And they paid Yikes. For it. And it didn't work out. But I mean, look, the idea that people will pay obscene amounts of money for random cosmetic shit has been borne out by every other game in existence.
And it turned out to not be a big deal. Like, I'm a big fan of CCP selling skins. I want, you know, give every ship a police skin, charge $20 for it, high fives all the way around. Remember, guys, it's a profit-driven business. We want CCP to both, one, make money, and two, through the process of making money, reinvest that money into making a better game for us to all enjoy, which we will then be happy to spend more money on and give to CCP, and then everybody wins, right? I am somewhere out on the left. I'm not exactly Mr. Capitalist. I used to be. I got over my Lulbertarian phase when I was 29 and started, like, realized I had to work for a living. And wow. So I'm not exactly Mr. Capitalism, but we need CCP to make money. We shouldn't have a knee-jerk reaction whenever we see a monetization pathway. Ideally, there should be a confluence of interests. You want to see a monetization pathway that makes the players happy to pay for it, that they are pleased to get the value in return for what they're getting, and then it's a rising tide that lifts all boats. My concern here is just, what is this? Right. Again, it's just a lot of this stuff. It's maybe in a week or in a month, we'll find more business articles that will explain the missing pieces. It's just like, I feel like there are voids in the puzzle, and it's very hard for me to make predictions or suggestions as to what they're doing, because fundamentally I am concerned, which is a thing I don't like to say. I'm also confused, and maybe if we were less confused, we would be less concerned, but that's my take on the new data that we have. I'm glad that CCP is making, like, it looks from the quarterly returns in that chart that EVE is making money, and essentially, since COVID and the war started at functionally the same time, a lot of us are in lockdown or pseudo-lockdown and murdering each other in internet space, and it's grand, or it's not grand, depending on your opinion. But one of the reasons I am concerned is it COVID? Is it the war? We just don't know what that float of revenue is. And we really need to know. We need to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Exactly right. And I think frankly, if you are an EVE player or you are a CCP employee, knowing that this war will be over someday, knowing that COVID will be beaten and we will be able to go outside again, and that's probably likely going to happen close to around the same time, I would think. You know, I'm thinking this war probably will be done by summer, if not by the end of the year. And I think COVID will be done by the summer, if not by the end of the year at the same time.
Sorry.
Are they making fun of your pronunciation?
I have always considered myself to be a proper
He's a southern gentleman, boys.
But in these Midwestern climes, I find I must disguise my true nature amongst the Yankees, the Midwesterners, and what have you. So I apologize if you happen to hear a little bit of a drawl when I'm discussing the COVID situation. It is something you are going to have to adapt to.
There you go. I like it. So the whole point is, at some point, the stuff's going to be over. And then you got to wonder, are our participation numbers going to start dropping? Probably. Are we going to start seeing people spending less money on EVE and going out more? Absolutely. I mean, so you're riding high right now, and the revenue numbers are looking good. But that may or may not be because of anything that you guys are doing right now. And I think I worry that the wrong lessons are being taken to heart here. And that just because the numbers look good and the company's making money, while every gaming company makes money hand over fist because people can't leave their houses, that's going to be that they're going to somehow say that, well, we did scarcity during this time and we made all these other changes and we made it a lot harder to do the stuff that people were already doing. This must be what is the secret sauce that'll get us where we're going. And that's the wrong lesson to take. And I want to highlight that because I want to show you guys, we have the MER for January 2021. Yep. And there's a couple things in here that I really want to highlight in the last 10 minutes of the show. And I went back and I pulled the numbers from 2017 on to 2021. And I'm going to show these to you guys right now because I think it's pretty illustrative. We are still in the middle of the scarcity phase, this famine patch, famine expansion that Merkel Chen coined on the show. We have not seen any light at the end of this tunnel. We keep being told soon, TM, and we keep getting told it's temporary, but this has been the case for 5 or 6 months now at a minimum since the last time there were major changes, and I think everybody is feeling it. So let me show you. This is the EVE Online economy in January of 2017. Look at that bounty prize number, 57,000 billion-isk. So that's 57.6 trillion S that right there. That is pretty significant. That was a lot that went through. The commodity market was another 21 trillion S. Incursions paid out 10 trillion. Insurance paid out almost 7. And we had agent missions was right 1.5, and that was about it. Most of the sync, the biggest sync at the time, the two biggest syncs were blueprints and skills, NPC skill books. Okay. That's 2017. Now, 2018, that's when we kicked it into high gear. We started doing Rourke walls. We had super mining everywhere. Here's January 2018. Bounty prizes jump. I'll go back. 57 trillion to 67 trillion. Commodity market stays about the same, 20 million. The incursions pat was a little bit less, and so was insurance. Maybe a little, actually, insurance a little bit higher. You can see here, it was down from 10 trillion on the incursions and up from 7 trillion on the insurance. The number one ISK sync was still skill trading, skills, buying skill books. Transaction and broker's fees were 12 trillion or so, but you can start seeing the money coming in. Now here's 2019, and it gets pretty fucking crazy. 83 trillion ISK in bounties, 25 trillion in the commodity market, incursions still about the same, insurance still about the same, skill NPC skill market is still number one sync. This is when the spigots were on at their absolute highest. Okay.
This was the peak, just for me to understand. This was like the peak of the Rourke wall party, super exactly. Umbrella.
This is
just go ham.
This is peak supers
feast,
and delve
famine.
And making tons of money. It was around, you know, it was in September of 2018. It's in the CSM minutes for CSM 13. When I asked CCP Larrikin, is this sustainable? And he said, no. And we started seeing them making changes, starting with anomaly changes, starting with some other stuff. Boom, we get to 2020. The bounty prizes, 44 trillion is down from 83 trillion. It's almost half of what it was. The commodity market increases because that's basically you're seeing more people buying stuff from the NPC markets. Incursions go way up. Insurance goes down. Transaction taxes now in the player-run markets become the number one, because there was a tax increase, the number one way of removing S from the game. Skill purchases went from number one to number four, and the broker's fees were added in there. This is from this year. This is January 2021. Bounty prize is down to 20.6 billion ISK. This is...
holy shit.
One quarter.
I haven't looked at this before. That is horrible. What the
one
fuck?
One quarter. It's one quarter of what it was.
It was bad, but I didn't realize it was that fucking bad. I've been busy with war shit, and I don't really look at MER stuff. I'm more,
it's
wow,
absolute,
that is
I mean,
fucked
it
up.
Is absolute, but the bounty numbers in just for 1 month, at the height, 3 years ago, 2019, or 2 years ago, 2019, 80 trillion ISK in, 20 trillion now. The NPC commodity market has increased more than anything. That's telling you that Blue Loot and stuff like that is selling more than anything else. Incursion payouts have gone up almost double what they were a couple years ago. You've got ESS bank money coming out, so I guess you could theoretically throw that in to the bounty prizes, which maybe gets that up to 28 trillion, but it's still less than 40 trillion from a year ago. Transaction taxes, brokers fees are still the highest thing now from last year, but they're still less than they were before. Now, you want to look at the next numbers here. You can see over time, and this puts it into perspective, the top eight sinks and faucets over time. You're seeing, I mean,
incursions
just the amount.
Are making more than, yeah, Jesus, incursions, what the fuck?
Like, for the second month in a row, incursions made more money than bounty prizes did. Insurance is staying about what it was. You're seeing transaction tax increase because people are buying more stuff from the player markets. And transaction tax and the broker's fees are going down because they're doing it. They're not doing it in the NPC stations. They're doing it in Citadels. But in addition, look at the mineral price index. For the second month in a row, it has spiked. It is off the fucking chart.
Wow.
Off the chart. Mineral price index. Here's a better view of it. Look at that number. It is insane. And it is so much higher than it has been at any other point in the history of the game, which I keep telling everybody is a stagflation indicator. It's going to, I'm telling you, everything is going to start ticking up in price because it's getting more and more expensive to build.
Explain
stuff
to me like I am a very simple mitten and that numbers confuse and scare me. Because they do, and this is why we have a finance team in Goonswarm. Stagflation, what are the implications of that? Not everybody will live through 70s America. So
what it basically means is things get more expensive while the amount of money that you have is reduced and the buying power of the money you do have is reduced at the same time. So in the end, it's one of these bad things where they're trying to recreate or redo the entire economy. And the result is going to be that right now it is cheaper to build T2 ships than it is to build T1 ships because the minerals cost way less because moon mining is one of the only viable things you can do in mass anymore. And all the T1 mining tends to be done in HiSec now. As stockpiles of minerals drop, which is arguably one of the goals behind all of this, those values will come down because there's just not going to be anything to sell. So the prices are going to keep going up, but the volume is going to go down. So it's not going to look that bad. But still, the bottom line is, the famine expansion is in full tilt. We don't have any end in sight here. And I don't know when it's going to end. And I don't think anybody can tell. I don't know if CCP can tell you when it's going to end. Because all we're seeing now is the impacts, the downstream impacts of all of these changes. Now, I think that when it comes to the bounty stuff, I think the company's perfectly happy with the way the bounties look. Because, yes, it's down significantly, and I think part of that is the war, because unless you're in Fraternity, you're not super ratting right now. And unless you're in, unless you have, like, solid safe space, and there's not a lot of that in the game right now, you're not going out there with your 16 VNI ults anymore. You're just not doing it. So I think in the end, with all the changes, with all the scarcity stuff that's out there, the reduction in the bounties, I think they're happy to see that because they got their reduction in bounty income that they've been asking for 2 years, and they did it without having to turn without blackout, which not only it dropped the bounty numbers pretty significantly for that 2 months, but it also dropped the login numbers too, and people are still logging in. So I think they're probably happy with that. But as players, it sucks to not have any money. It sucks to not be able to do the stuff that you did before and that everybody's trying to figure out and scrape around, and I know Goons have spent a lot of time trying to educate players on how to make money now in the new environment. And it has done the exact same thing. One of my corp mates has been running has an entire server for incursions for our init guys to teach them how to do all this stuff so that they can make money. Dark Shines has been teaching everybody how to do combat missions and curse. And I know Karma Fleet University is out there pushing and trying to teach these guys how to make ISK too. Everybody has to learn this new system. And it's not just because of the war, it's because of what CCP has been doing. But I don't see any end in sight here. And until we get some kind of an idea that the money's going to start flowing again, I think we're going to start seeing the downstream impacts we've been saying are going to happen for a while. And that is, people are going to be more unwilling to get into fleets if they think they're going to whelp. FCs are going to be more unwilling to take fights because they don't know if they can replace the ships. I'm very concerned about whether or not there's going to be a follow-up M2, because if you can't, if Legacy still can't replace the Titans they've already lost, how are they going to replace more? And you know that we're going to kill more.
As an aside, like that is one of the weird impacts of the extended time of the M2 Hell Camp. Not of the Hell Camp, but of like this is war related. But I'm not going to make a. I'm not turf and blurfs about this. If you are one of the entities that still has SRP to repay for like losing Titans from M2, one of the challenges that our spies have watched our enemies deal with, and this is not shit talking Legacy, like this is an impact of how CCP scarcity stuff is influencing the game. If you lose like 302 Titans or something very rapidly because you picked a fight with a bunch of goons and their friends and stuff happened, and you still have like 20 Titans unpaid because there's a resource shortage, nobody has enough Ragnaroks because we blew them all up. To pay for one of those Ragnaroks, to return it to your members in SRP form in early January, that's one thing. Now, when you're in almost March, if anybody's still like, basically the prices of these things are continuing to go up. So any lag in SRP is having an even more negative impact. And that's not just for Titans, that's for subcaps. That's for any of the entities in the war that we're seeing that invested less in their members. We're lucky in the Imperium because we sort of had a member-centric model such that our line members in general have tons of ISK and can invest in things like war bonds that we can use to try to like float past the famine expansion. But, you know, if you have an unpaid SRP bill from January, basically it's like credit card debt from hell, right? Like the price of replacing this shit from the war is increasing on the daily for everyone. And that is, I mean, at this point, I think it would be bad for the game for the war to end, right? Like I told my guys on a fireside today that there's no retreat, there's no evacuation. We stay in Delve and we fight to the last, if that's what it is, and then we get back up and we keep fighting. But looking at these numbers, it's just kind of freaky because at a certain point, where are the less well capitalized people's ships going to come from? Right. Look at that mineral graph is just ridiculous. Like I'm not an econ guy, but even looking at that, I'm just like, what the? I don't. Economic stuff bores the hell out of me. Numbers scare me. I am a simple creature. And so until we got to the meta show, I saw that Brisk had prepared all of these charts and graphs. And, you know, I scroll down, we have a cool little system here when we're doing our show, and he has the corporate veil section, but I hadn't looked at the fucking charts. I'm busy with war stuff. I turn up here, I herf my blurfs, I wear my black shirt and I try to look pretty or make a joke or two or whatever. But what the fuck? Like that it literally
off the chart.
You don't often see off the chart. That's a fucking hockey stick
off the chart
of the mineral price index. No wonder everybody is scrambling around for SRP across the fucking game. That's not sustainable for people, unless you're extremely well organized and extremely well capitalized and can have the luxury of going like, well, yeah, I need to have a bunch of extremely highly educated people get together and form a finance team and figure out a way to basically create a security in Eve that's not actually security, blah blah blah, and do the war bonds thing to get a way around. Fuck, that is really bad.
It is, and that's.
I think they have a plan. I don't think. What the fuck?
If you're just a regular group trying to figure out what to do, I don't know what the hell to tell you. I can't even.
Our finance guys, like in the Imperium, don't worry. When you see me going like, wow, whatever. You guys know SRP comes immediately. Like we have a deep bankroll, and worst case scenario, we can always issue more war bonds. But if you're not the Imperium. Or if you're not PL and have a stockpile of like, you know, PL's going to be fine. They've got a pile of Alliance tournament ships. They can float or whatever. But if you're
who's going to have this to buy them?
Yeah, if you're going to be like bumfuck Legacy pickup guild number 473, Eternal Requiem, or whichever already replaced or whoever the fuck they are, these guys, those guys, and that guy over there. You got nothing. There's no recourse against a hockey stick like that. What the fuck?
No. I mean, looking at, and I've got River and Caleb have gotten me some other extra data, and I'm looking at it now, and it's just, you look at from January 2019 till today, just the bounty numbers, have fallen off a cliff. The mining numbers have fallen off a cliff. We're almost at blackout level of bounties. Slightly higher than that. The destroyed number is up, but that's because of what's happening with the war. Trade volumes are down, but they're kind of at the new normal. And the same with the production numbers. But it just, in any event, the reality here is scarcity is starting to take a big bite, and I think it's going to start having impacts on a lot of different things coming up in the near future. We would say before, well, scarcity is here, and we got to see what the impacts are going to be. But for a while, it's not going to be a big deal because we've got all these, we're sitting on all these stockpiles and blah blah blah. Everybody's got ISK and blah 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 blah. And then we go and kill a million bucks worth of stuff in a big war at the same time that this is happening. Nobody can spend the time writing and mining because they're always in fleets or they're not in safe space anymore. There's only one group making any ISK. And it's one of the groups that's kind of on the periphery of the war in general anyway, up in Owasa and Vale. I mean, that was the funny thing. We saw a ton of one of the other things the MER showed was a ton of exports from Owasa to Vale, which was, you could see, which fraternity moving their super fleet over to Vale to go stomp on the Freeman. So in the end, I don't know what to tell you is going to happen next, because I think we're in uncharted waters here.
None of us know, right? Like that's kind of one of the fucked up things about here is that, you know, we're in the commenting business, right? And I have often bloviated about where I think things are going to go in EVE Online. And it reminds me, I'm going to make a William Gibson reference here. William Gibson is a science fiction author. Most of you should know who William Gibson is if you're playing fucking EVE Online.
I hope so.
And, you know, he is one of the best predictors in general. Like, he is really good at figuring out what's going to happen in 10 or 20 years. And around the time that he was writing his most recent couple of novels, I read an interview with him, and he has this thing called the jackpot, right? Which is basically a complexity apocalypse scenario. We don't need to go into too much detail about this, but basically what he was saying was after a certain point in the near future, his intuition just has static. And he doesn't know if that means that there's just going to be chaos. There's just too much shit going on to make any realistic predictions about what comes next. I have nothing. I have no idea. My intuition looking at this fucking hockey stick, mineral basket, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have nothing useful to offer. My Mitanni hindbrain, whatever shit it is that makes me good at what I do in this game, just looks at this and goes, I got nothing. I got no fucking clue. And I don't think anybody does. And I think that's bad because the whole idea here is that CCP is saying that they have a plan, that they're going to do scarcity stuff, and they're going to turn the faucets on and stuff like that. And I, every Saturday, get up in front of our people on the fireside and I tell people what the plan is. I set expectations. I say where we're going. I point to evidence. I try to calm people's emotions if they're having emotions. And I, you know, prediction is important. It's important to tell people what to expect such that they can ready for themselves for hard times. And the fact that this is happening, and it just kind of seems like an uncontrolled chain reaction. I'm not seeing evidence of a plan. And worse, if I remember correctly, when CCP turned on the whole scarcity dev blog thing a year or whatever, I don't remember, because like the war stuff happened in 2020, so all life is war and has always been war and will always be war.
We have always been at war with East Asia.
Exactly. 2020, and we're still sort of doing that thing. But like, if I remember correctly, CCP explicitly said in a dev blog something to the effect of like, we don't know what we're doing here, and we're just going to start breaking stuff in the control room and then we'll clean up the mess later. And job well done. I guess they did it. Look at that fucking chart. Actually, Bruce, could you please put the economic indices chart with this hockey stick again?
Because like,
this was scrolled down on our meta show planning notes document, and I did not go all the way to the bottom because I am a simple creature. And just, dude, what the fuck? What the fuck is that?
Yep.
In the words of Fountain Frank,
what the absolute fuck was that?
What the absolute fuck? All right, I got nothing.
That's it. And you know, guys, normally we like to pretend that we have all the answers. And at least when it comes to the war, we have all the answers. When it comes to this shit, all we got are questions, just like you. So I don't know whether anything helped. If this helped you guys at all or made you feel any better, I know it didn't make me feel any better. In fact, I feel a lot worse than I did starting this. But I'll be honest. What I'm looking for from the company, at least in the near future, is I want an idea of what's coming next. I want an idea of when scarcity is done, when we're going to get to the next phase, when we get our carrots after our diet of sticks. I want to see. I want to hear something fun. I want to see new ships. I want to see new stuff for veterans. I want you want to do new player stuff. That's fine. Give the vets something that they want. Red dot toggle, maybe that would be nice. In any event, you guys, what you guys have received from us is 7 extra minutes of the show, so you should be happy. You got more meta show for your value, which is, I think, a pretty good thing. Pretty good deal.
Well, sorry that we're being kind of downers today, guys. It's just that, you know, when we have the evidence, when we have the facts, we have to examine what has gone on. I think, you know, here's the thing. It could always be worse. We have been through worse crap before. The Incarna stuff was real bad, and the game recovered from that. It's just sometimes when, periodically, sometimes CCB will crash the game into a tree, and then, you know, pick it back up and unfuck it, and off we go. It's not the first time this kind of crap has happened. It's just, this is the
next time.
The chart is, I did not expect to actually see it go off the chart. That is really puzzling. And again, if you're an Imperium member and you're watching this, because we invested in our members, this is the kind of thing that we can just cover. We have a capital float to get to the other side of this nonsense and get to where CCP turns the spigots back on. And, you know, this is going to crush out a lot of the already bankrupt legacy alliances because they are not going to be able to handle this kind of stuff. Organizationally speaking, we're going to be okay. So if you're in the Imperium and you're looking at the stuff and you're going like, oh my God, run for the hills. We got this. We kind of planned around this because we got a bunch of very, very smart people on our finance team and they're all over it. And you guys know, it's not like in Brave Newbies where you have to wait for like 34 days or whatever before you get fucking subcap SRP. Like, you can't hide the fact that you're out of ISK when you're out of ISK, and we are not out of ISK. But god damn, what a fucking chart. That's it. I got nothing. I think that we should call the show, and we'll come back around next week with some space news. We will do normal
show. We'll have talk and all kinds of stuff next week.
Yeah, more spaceships in the video game. Just put more fucking spaceships in the video game.
We love spaceships.
Spaceships
are never bad.
Video game. Fuck.
We like spaceships. All right, everybody. Thank you all. It's been the Meta Show for Saturday, February the 27th. I'm Bruce Rubal. Tomorrow, first day of spring training games. That's why I got my Orioles tie on, even though we're going to suck again this year. I hope you guys all had fun. Thanks for joining us. Mitani, myself, as always, you stay classy, New Eden.